The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Thanks for joining the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning. And our special guest for 2 weeks in a row, we have Pete Vargo, owner of New Tech Energy Solutions. He's a building performing consultant. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Jackie and Pat.
Thanks for coming back with us this week. We enjoyed our discussion last week and looking for a good one today as well. We are here every Saturday and Sunday. We discuss everything real estate. Our Century 21 Quality Service Award winning office has many experienced realtors. We have been listing, selling, and appraising real estate for over 40 years. During the week,
feel free to email us with any questions you have, or if you'd like to suggest a topic for the show, shoot us an email at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com, or give us a call at 570-344-6724.
View our listings or search the MLS listings by going to jruddy.com, where you can also find our archive radio shows and our realtor videos. Like us on Facebook at the Real Estate Roundtable. Okay, good morning, Pete. Pete Vargo, New Tech Energy Solutions, building performing consultant. Last week, we were talking about building performance assessments and home audits. Before we get into that discussion, can you tell me a little bit about yourself, how long you've been doing this, please?
Sure. Again, my name is Pete Vargo with New Tech Energy Solutions. I started New Tech about 7 years ago. Did a little bit of a career change and got real interested in building science, and became an energy rater and got a slew of other certifications over the years, and spent a lot of time looking at homes and buildings and trying to figure out problems and saving energy and things like that.
So you assess properties and evaluate where there's some energy loss, and you help people figure out what they need to do in order to make it more energy efficient.
That's correct.
Okay. And last week, we spent a lot of time talking about air leakage, air ducts, safety issues, that sort of thing, and why it's important to have a professional assess the situation rather than the homeowner themselves, correct?
Correct.
How much do these energy audits cost if I was to have you come out to just an average type property?
Sure. Typically, it ranges between $350 and $600, depending on the size and complexity of your home.
Okay. So, you know, as a realtor, it would be something I would think buyers would be interested in doing. A lot of buyers, most buyers, do a property home inspection, and they look at all the components of a home, structural items, wood infestation, radon. If there's a well, if there's a septic, they test those. Some even go as far as testing lead. And I just don't see a call for this yet. Do you work a lot with buyers and people that own properties that look to sell?
I do, and I have. I've had numerous occasions where buyers were looking to buy a home where they wanted me to go above and beyond the typical home inspection and to get more into the nitty gritty of, you know, things like what we talked about, water management last week and air sealing and thermal bypasses and duct leakage, things that a typical home inspector doesn't address.
Well, right. We have lots of times we have people when they're buying a house, they request the utility bills from the previous owners, but that's not a realistic estimate. What if the person kept the house at 60 degrees during the winter and didn't turn the air conditioning on in the summer? I mean, this would be a much more realistic picture of what the energy is going to cost.
Absolutely, Pat. Yeah, occupant usage patterns can make a big difference in energy costs, and we've seen that. So just looking at the utility bills is really not going to give you an accurate depiction of what you may be paying. It'd be ballpark, but there could be some underlying things there that you're just not seeing. And you could be paying much less by having an energy audit and doing a few things to the home to get those costs down.
Well, in a lot of research that I've done, I came across material where people actually did it to their benefit when they were going to sell a home. They did do an energy audit, then they made those repairs and enhancements to the upgrade to their home, and they were able to sell the home for a lot more than their comparable counterparts on the market because they had these energy efficiency items.
Yes, in a buyer's market, I would strongly advise a seller to consider that. You know, if there's, especially if there's easy upgrades they could do to the house to really decrease those utility bills, like we talked about last week in the attic and things like that. And you know, the buyer sees that they took the initiative to do that and either had the work done or is providing the work scope to the buyer. Yeah, it definitely would be advantageous in this market.
Well, everything that I've been reading, it does seem that buyers are concerned. If this is one of their main concerns, whether a house is energy efficient and green. Now, green is the thing, too. A lot of people are calling for green products in their homes because this is what's important to them. Other areas, we talked about the air ducts last week, which, you know, were a big part of your assessment when you go into home. Size of units, do these matter? Furnaces, air conditioners, and why does that matter?
Yes, is bigger better?
Not necessarily, Pat. When you oversize furnaces, boilers, and or air conditioning units, you create potential problems. For instance, if you oversize your boiler or your furnace on the heating end, you get what we call short cycling. So the furnaces and boilers are made to operate efficient. And in order to do that, they ramp up, you know, to their burner temp, and then they kind of level off, and then that's where you get your efficiency. What happens when you oversize furnaces and boilers, they never reach that kind of plateau where they ramp off to their, you know, ideal efficiency. They basically fire up, they ramp up, and then boom, blast out all this hot air or hot water to your baseboard, and then the thermostat gets satisfied very quickly. So what happens is that then of course the furnace shuts off. So we call that short cycling. And not only is it inefficient, so you're using more fuel than you should be, but it also reduces the life of the furnace and or the boiler because of that short cycling. So your mechanicals are gearing up and shutting down much more often than they should be. So anything mechanical, more often that happens, the earlier it's going to fail, or the earlier you're going to start having problems with it. On the AC side of things, on the air conditioning side of things, if you don't size your air conditioner unit properly, what happens is you don't dehumidify the air in your home. And the only way that you really feel comfortable in the summer when you're in your house is if you get that humidity out of the air. So a lot of times, and I would say, geez, even in new construction, probably 95% of the time, the air conditioning unit is way oversized, and many times by a factor of two. What happens is the homeowner is sitting in their house in the middle of August when it's really hot out. Well, the air conditioner comes on, blasts a large amount of cool air into the home, satisfies the thermostat, and the unit shuts down. Well, you're kind of comfy, but you're kind of cool, but you feel damp, so you're not really comfortable. You know, you don't have that nice, comfortable feeling, and that's because the unit's not running long enough to dehumidify the air in your house. A properly sized air conditioning unit will ramp up and run continuously when it's real hot outside. And what that allows is it allows the unit to dehumidify the air. So as it's running, it's taking moisture and humidity out of the air inside your house. And as it drops that humidity, you start to feel more comfortable, more comfortable, more comfortable. You know, that's why, you know, a drier heat maybe in Arizona is much more comfortable than a wet jungle heat, you know, in the jungle somewhere. Even though it might be the same exact temperature that you're looking at on your thermometer, the drier heat is going to feel much more comfortable.
So it's not the heat, it's the humidity.
The humidity,
yeah. That's the one that gets you.
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. And here with us today is Pete Vargo, owner of New Tech Energy Solutions, a building performing consultant. And we're talking about size of units, heating, cooling matters. And how about age? Does age matter as well? I would think an older unit would be using a lot more energy or power or something to
Yeah, it certainly can, Jackie. You know, especially if they weren't maintained, you know, over the years. That's one thing that many homeowners neglect to do is to get proper maintenance on their systems. It's very important not only to maintain efficiencies, but to maintain the overall life expectancy of the unit. You know, you don't want to be replacing a unit every 8 years that you could, with proper maintenance, be replacing every 15 years. So yeah, you know, with boilers and furnaces, a clean and tune, you know, maybe once a year, at least once every other year, and refrigerant checks on your AC side, and you know, things like that they're important maintenance. And yeah, it might cost you $100-$150 or whatever,
but it's going to save you.
Yeah, but over the long term, you know, it will definitely extend the life of your system and save you a few bucks on your utility bill as well.
So what do you have to say about appliances, washers, dryers, dishwashers, refrigerators? Yeah. Do you feel that they're something that people, when they're looking to replace them, they should go with something with a Sears rating?
Yeah, something with the Energy Star rating on it. As far as, you know, as far as refrigerators and washing machines, it's hard to really find one anymore that's not, you know, unless you really go for the Econo one. Most all of them have decent ratings on them.
People balk at their cost, but you're saving so much. You're significantly saving in water consumption on the washer.
You can, yeah, you absolutely.
Detergent usage,
yeah, especially on the washers, and the, you know, the costs of them are coming down. I mean, now they have the, before you were stuck buying the front load Energy Star washer, which was, in some instances, a kind of a pain, but now you can get a regular top load Energy Star washer, and I'm seeing them more and more and more, and the price points are coming down on them. And with Energy Star refrigerators, again, it's hard not to buy an Energy Star refrigerator.
You have to really try not to.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, all right. Well, since energy costs rank high on you know, expenses that people pay, homeowners especially pay, studies have demonstrated that energy efficiency renovations more than pay for themselves in utility savings. Why do you suspect people just aren't performing them?
It's probably a couple different reasons. One is just knowledge of it. You know, knowledge of, you know, that, hey, this exists and there's people out there that can help you figure this stuff out. You know, and the other part is you know, okay, do I do this myself or do I get somebody to do this? Where do I start? And it could be very confusing, you know, for a homeowner. I mean, I've had years and years of training on this, and it's a lot more than meets the eye, so to speak. So, you know, I think more people would take advantage of it if they knew that, you know, our primary job, my primary job as an energy auditor, is to figure out what can be done to your home at a price point that's going to pay for itself through the monthly energy savings. So I'm not going to come into your home and say, you know, this is going to cost you $10,000 to fix your home up and you're never going to see a payback. You know, my job is to come into your home and you say, you know, and figure out, you know, at what price point, what can we do to your home with an economic reason that's actually going to produce more savings than costs over the term of those improvements. And that's the whole basis, you know, of coming in and doing an energy audit. Besides, you know, safety and water management things, other than those things, you know, we're not going to recommend that you do anything that's not going to pay for itself unless there's an underlying reason for building durability or safety reasons.
So your goal is to help people save money.
That's our primary goal. That's basically our job.
All right, excellent. We're headed towards the break. Before we do so, Pat, would you like to review a listing, please?
Yes, this is an amazing property with two homes located on a quiet dead-end street. The first home is a 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath home that was built for entertaining. It has a 28-by-18-foot family room with a hand-built fireplace. It's really very nice. It has a very nice tiled bathroom. It has a pool room with built-in seating, great yard, and zoned heating. There's just so much here about these two buildings. If you want to know more about it, you can go to jruddy.com. But the best thing to do is give us a call about 911 Paul Avenue in Scranton on a dead-end street, and that's $225,000, and it's listed by Sarah Weiss.
Okay, stay with us. We will be back in a few moments with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. In today's real estate market, there's no doubt buying and selling a home is complicated. It can be thrilling and exciting too. Hi, I'm Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. And when it comes to real estate, you need to be confident you're making the right decisions. I am confident we have what it takes to help you make those right decisions. Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate has been helping buyers and sellers for over 40 years. So we've invested the time to know and understand the market. We're great listeners, skilled negotiators, and we focus on every detail, giving you the highest level of service. Call Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate today, 344-6724, or visit jready.com. Plus, tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable every Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Don't go it alone. Call 344-6724 for Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. Welcome back to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, owner, and with my husband, fellow realtor, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning. And our special guest, Pete Vargo, owner of New Tech Energy Solutions, a building performing consultant. You are a professional energy auditor. You use a variety of techniques and equipment to determine the energy efficiency of a structure, correct?
Correct.
And your ultimate goal is to help people save money.
Absolutely.
Right. It keeps paying and paying.
Before the break, we were talking about size of units, air heating and air. That's very important, as well as age. And, you know, to recap, you know, it's something that where people spend a lot of money and they don't realize that they're using a ton of energy to try to cool or heat a place. And this is where you come in. You can assess the situation and help them determine what size is best.
Yes, we sure can.
Okay. Now, one thing that I wanted to talk to you about is energy efficient mortgages. What's that all about? That's very interesting.
Yeah, and they've been around for quite some time, and nobody really knows what they are, or you know, how they work, or where do I get one? Where do I sign up? You know, to share some statistics with you, between 2004 and 2010, there were about 7 or 8 million FHA loans. FHA loans are the ones that where you can get EEMs or energy efficient mortgages, and out of those, you know, out of those 7 or 8 million loans, only about 9,000 of them were energy efficient mortgages, and probably 90% of them could have qualified for one. So yeah, it's a very, very underutilized and or unknown lending vehicle, so to speak, you know, within the mortgage industry.
And it seems very interesting. Tell me, is this on new construction properties that that are energy efficient and would have an audit to declare their energy efficiency?
Yes, through an FHA loan, you can do an EEM or an energy efficient mortgage for both new construction and for existing homes. And then for VA loans, you can do them only for existing homes. And yes, for new construction, we base the energy efficiency on the plans and specifications, you know, at the start of the permitting and the building process.
Well, on an older home, and we sell a lot of older homes at Century 21 Jack Ruddy's, a lot of homes that were built in the 1920s, the 1930s, they may have had vinyl siding, replacement windows, and some insulation. But, you know, you come in, you have to assess what is currently there, exists, and what should be there. Is that what you do? Is that your role?
Yes. And those homes that you mentioned, Jackie, that segment of homes, they're typically the ones that have the best shot at doing an energy efficient mortgage, or the most benefit from doing an energy efficient mortgage. And yes, we go in and do basically what's called a HERS rating, you know, home energy rating assessment, or home energy rating system assessment, on the home, which is required, you know, by the mortgage lender. So that gives us the baseline of where the home's at. And if we can get them, we request utility bills to compare that with the modeling that we do of the home. And then we base our actions, or our work scope actions, on, you know, what can we do to the home to increase its efficiency that'll have a payback scenario that, you know, that's where we have minimum thresholds that we have to meet in order to qualify for the energy efficient mortgage. In other words, whatever is done to the home, the cost to do that upgrade to the home has to pay for itself during its the life cycle of that particular upgrade.
When these upgrades, you're going in and you're assessing the situation and you're figuring out what upgrades have to be met, have to be done.
Yes.
Not necessarily already finished or completed.
Yes. If it's already done, then we can't include it. You know, in an existing home, with a new home, obviously it's already going to be done. But that the whole thing is based on plan, what we call plan modeling. So all that's taken care of from the design phase. With existing homes, if that upgrade was already in place before the mortgage transaction, you can't count it. You'd have to try to get that extra value out of the appraiser if it would be possible, but you wouldn't be able to include it in the energy efficient mortgage.
Okay, so these things, you come in, you figure out what needs to be done to enhance the energy efficiency of that property.
Yes. Well, what happens is, of course, you notify your lender and the underwriter, hey, you know, we're going to be applying for an energy efficient mortgage. And at that point, then you have to contract with a certified HERS rater.
Which is not
Yeah, it is. Yeah, okay. We absolutely, I can do that. Yep.
Do you do the work?
No. Well, see, with the way it works with the FHA is you contract with a certified HERS rater to come in, or an auditor to come in to do the assessment. We have to model the home in this approved software, do the work scope analysis, you know, itemize the upgrades, you know, their initial cost and the payback, the monthly savings, yearly savings. That information then gets passed on to the lender underwriter, you know, for approval. And then it basically works as, you know, if you can get access to the house and both parties are in agreement, sometimes you can get it done, you know, prior to closing. Otherwise, if it goes after closing, then that money that gets set aside for the installs of the upgrades gets put in an escrow account, and you have 3 months to complete it after the date of the closing.
So you do the HERS assessment.
Yeah, so we do all that, and then
you tell them what needs to be done. They put the money on the side, and then it's got to be done within 3 months.
Now, unlike like a home, like if I'm just doing a home energy audit for you, I can actually do the work too, or some of the work, mm-hmm. you know. And I do that in many cases.
But where this mortgage,
it's a conflict of interest.
Okay.
So I have to remain a third party independent. Auditor,
sure.
Rater.
Makes sense.
I have to inspect and approve what is done. So either the homeowner, whoever, has to go out and get a qualified contractor to do the specified work. I have to both inspect and then test out the work to make sure it was done properly and it meets the requirements.
Any contractor? You said qualified contractor. What does that mean? Qualified?
Well,
because some people think they're qualified.
Yeah,
and they're not.
Absolutely. And that's why I kind of validated it, because you know, you definitely want to get somebody that knows what they're doing, especially because your energy efficient mortgage proceeds, or, you know, or that money to pay for that is dependent on them doing it properly. If they don't do it properly, you know, the underwriter is not going to release the funds, you know, to pay for the work.
Do you find that when you're going back? Because I was going to ask you about that. Who monitors it?
Probably because I've done so few, because nobody knows about them. I've only done a handful of energy efficient mortgages in the Valley here, you know, over the years. But I do find I have worked on like large low income housing projects where I was, again, a third party independent auditor, both doing the pre audit and the post testing and test out, what we call. And yeah, I always find things that are wrong constantly. So,
and then they'll correct them, and then they'll get paid.
Yeah, they have to correct them, or they don't get paid.
Oh, okay.
All right. Okay.
Oh, that's
good. Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. And here with us today is Pete Vargo, owner of New Tech Energy Solutions, a building performing consultant. And we're talking about energy efficient mortgages, and what needs to be done, and how it's done, and who has to do it. So these contractors, and sometimes you find that the work isn't done properly. So that contractor has to be called back, and it has to be done in accordance with what you tell them.
Yeah, it has to meet the, basically it has to meet the work scope right to the letter, and it has to satisfy any test out requirements that we have. Test out requirements may be a blower door test or a duct blaster test, you know, to measure air leakage or duct leakage, or maybe other items also.
So is it usually a simple fix or a more complex? Are people ripping out things?
No. With EEMs, because they're pretty strict on payback. In other words, they want enough free cash flow freed up from the utility bills per month to pay the extra on the mortgage, you know, and it usually works out where, you know, it might be $30 more a month on the mortgage, but they're actually saving $150 a month on their energy bill, which is ideal. Mm-hmm. You know, then they have plenty of free cash flow to pay a little bit extra on the mortgage. So we're usually looking for the low hanging fruit, Jackie, when we do these energy audits, you know, for the energy efficient mortgages. So we're not going to be, you know, tearing out walls and, you know, re-siding the house and things like that, you know, with insulation and stuff. You know, because we're restricted, we have to we have to have the lowest hanging fruit so it'll pay for itself. So we're looking for, like we talked about last week with duct sealing and attic insulation and thermal bypass closure and, you know, air sealing in general. You know, sometimes if it's a small house and it needs a small boiler and the boiler is completely shot, or maybe the water heater is completely shot, you know, possibility that some of that could be worked in. There's also the possibility for the homeowner that, say, you know, say we come up with things that are worth $7,000 to upgrade the house, and the energy efficient mortgage and weatherization monies will cover maybe $5,000 of it. The homeowner has the option to proceed, but then that extra $2,000 has to come out of their own pocket.
Yeah, pay the difference.
So, you know, that's an option.
Mm-hmm. So these energy efficient mortgages are available in the conventional mortgage market, FHA market, VA market, and there's also refinances?
Yes, absolutely. You can do a refi, an energy efficient mortgage refi, and it works basically the same way. It's just, you know, you're refinancing, and, you know, and with rates as they are now, and you're looking to refi, I would certainly consider, especially if you have an older home, I would certainly consider an EEM refi.
Sure.
Because you could roll it right into your refi, and you don't have to lay that out of pocket, you know, and maybe you're not going to pay for everything that you'd like to do, but you can maybe cover a good portion of it.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, it makes total sense to me that if you have an existing home and you need upgrades and you're looking to save money, and especially on the utility costs, which is a big source of loss for many people, a huge expense monthly, yearly, that would make total sense.
Yeah. With EEM, you don't have to lay that cash out up front.
Excellent information for the second week in a row. Pete Vargo, owner, New Tech Energy Solutions, a building performing consultant. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us. We appreciate.
No, thank you, Jackie. It's my pleasure to be here.
Before we close, Pat, will you review a listing, please?
Yes. This is a 3-bedroom, 1-bath home located at 1704 Dixon Avenue in Scranton. This is really a great deal. It's only $40,000. It has a 1-car garage, and the taxes for 2012 are only $1,000. I wish mine were $1,000. This home has all new electrical, and the plumbing was updated this year. It has a new kitchen floor. It's a perfect starter home, and it is priced to sell. So give us a call about 1704 Dixon Avenue in Scranton for only $40,000, and that is listed by Julie Roback of our office.
Okay, my tip today, reduce deposit and buildups on your water heater. Drain a bucket of water from the bottom of the water heater once or twice a year to reduce mineral deposits and sediment buildup. This increases water heater efficiency. Don't drain the water heater, though, if you've used it for a year or more and have never drained it. The faucet may have corroded, shut, and could break if you force it open. Before draining the water from an electric water heater, always remember to turn off the water heater at the circuit breaker or fuse. Thank you for tuning in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Gruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. Before we close, I'd like to wish everybody a safe and happy 4th of July holiday.
Happy 4th of July, everybody.
During the week, feel free
to email us with any questions you have, or if you'd like to suggest a topic for a show, at questions@jrudy.com. That's questions@jrudy.com. Or give us a call at 570-344-6724.
Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 11:30 a.m. to listen to more of the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.